Welcome to this special interview. My name is Brandon Vaught, and I'm really excited about today's conversation. Not only is it the first transatlantic video interview that we've done here, but we'll also be talking with a very interesting man. His name is Dr. Austin Ivory, and he's the co-founder and director of a brand new media apologetics group out of England named Catholic Voices. Dr. Ivory is a very smart man. He has his doctorate from Oxford University. He also has a master's degree in canon law from London University. And he's a well-known British journalist and political commentator and writer. Today, he spends his time between both Catholic Voices and his other journalistic work. And he recently published a book, which I've reviewed here at the blog and have also given away recently, titled How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice: Civil Responses to Catholic Hot-Button Issues. Austin's joining me from England today, and it's a great joy to be talking with you, Austin. So thank you for chatting with me, and welcome.
It's great to be with you, Brandon, really. And thank you so much for your review and the great giveaway of the book and so on.
You're welcome. Now, I'd like to begin the interview by asking you about this Catholic Voices group. It's a really interesting thing that you've put together here in England. So how did it come about, and what's its mission?
Catholic Voices began about a year before the Pope arrived in Britain in September 2010. So a year before, I was sitting at lunch with a friend of mine called Jack, and we had our head in our hands, and we were thinking, this is going to be a disaster. Because all the really contentious issues, the what we call the hot button or neuralgic issues, are going to come under the spotlight when the Pope is here, and we're going to have either empty chairs or Catholics in those chairs who you wouldn't necessarily want explaining the faith on your behalf. And we were partly influenced in this thinking by the fact that there'd just been a debate here in London on the motion, the Catholic Church is a force for good in the world. And to give you a summary of what happened, the more the Catholics spoke, the more people voted against them. And there was a kind of a cri de coeur, people saying, what's happened to apologetics? Why is it we're so bad at putting our case? And Jack and I had some experience doing this over the years, and we decided that we would put together a team. And so Catholic Voices was a 6 to 8 month project in anticipation of the Pope's arrival, where we gave about 25 fantastic young people who were willing to step up to the plate, training obviously in media skills and how to do a really good 3 or 4 minute interview. But more importantly, and this is where the legacy of the project really comes in, we spent time, and it was a lot of time, every couple of weeks with experts drilling down into these issues about the neuralgic issues. We first of all defined them, and we said, you know, we can't anticipate what the news story is going to be, but we can anticipate is that behind almost every news story is one of these neuralgic issues. So a neuralgic issue is where church and society clash. So just to finish the story, we set the project up. We did lots of interviews, more than 100 at the time of the papal visit, and everybody said, this is fantastic, this is great. How can it carry on? So hence the books. And also, we started to get requests from abroad. Could we come and help set up similar groups? So we're now present in 6 different countries, in Poland, Mexico, Ireland, and I'm delighted to say, Spain, I should say, and I'm delighted to say the USA, where I was just in May, helping to set up a group there, which has just launched, based in Washington, D.C., Catholic Voices USA. So it's taken off, and I'm just really gratified and delighted by that.
Now, in your new book, How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice, you kind of distill a lot of the principles that this Catholic Voices group embraces. What I like best about it is it's not just straight Catholic apologetics. You don't cover just what the church teaches, but you teach people how to communicate this message in a very graceful, charitable way. One of the best principles I think you introduce that I really haven't seen anywhere else is this idea of positive intention. Can you talk a little bit about what that is and how it works?
So positive intention is the key concept in what we call reframing. So the point of reframing is this. In our society, there is a narrative, a paradigm, what we call a frame. So on a lot of news stories, and this isn't just true of news stories, it's how people perceive the church. There is a frame. That the church opposes certain things, that the church is trying to impose its view, that the church has a particular view of suffering. So there's a frame in which actually almost always the Catholic Church comes off badly. What we tried to do was understand, first of all, that frame. Where was it coming from? And I've got thoughts on that, and I've since been reflecting a lot more about it. But let's just call it the liberal frame. Now, we looked at that and we said, now, how do we reframe? How do we actually move the story away from that to another story? And the key concept, and how do we do it in a way that we're not defensive? And what we discovered was we decided to really enter into the criticism of the church. Where is this coming from? More importantly, what is the value behind it? Now, I think this is the step that a lot of people miss. I think some people understand that people who criticize the church have arguments, but I think they often regard those arguments as, you know, you don't want to take them too seriously because they're based on misinformation or misapprehensions about the church. Now, that may be true, but in fact, what they usually is a value behind the criticism. So what we decided to do was identify the value and see that almost in every instance, it is a positive value. In fact, and here's the really perhaps surprising thing, it's a gospel value. Now, this often comes as a big surprise, but it shouldn't. We live in Christian or post-Christian societies. We live in cultures indelibly marked by the gospel. So that very often the value behind the criticism of the church comes from a gospel value. We need to make sure that in developing our response to that criticism, we identify and affirm that positive value. And having done that, you can then clear the way to having a real conversation, because basically, defensiveness happens. When people get very defensive and very het up, it's because, it's a very British expression, they're het up, but it's because that they believe that something that they really care about, a cherished value, is being threatened by what the other is saying or believing. So if you can identify with the positive intention, with the value behind that criticism, it diffuses immediately the atmosphere, creates an atmosphere of friendliness and trust, which then enables the conversation to take place. Now, we went through all the issues and we did this and we started our response from there. And we discovered, even before we were kind of trying them out in interviews, that the Catholic Voices themselves were coming back each week and saying, hey, you know what, I've been having the most amazing conversations with my work colleagues or with people in my family using this technique. And so we started to realize then that it had a wider application. But when we did put it into practice, as we have done ever since, and we obviously continue to do interviews all the time, we find basically it works really, really well. It helps to reframe. It helps us to tell our story. And often, in media terms, it makes for really good radio and television, because it introduces often a very surprising element. Very often, you know, the Catholic is invited to perform a certain kind of pantomime role, which is expected of them. But reframing shows that actually, look, that's not actually what we believe. And people are genuinely interested and genuinely surprised. So, you know, everybody wins. I think it makes for a much better exchange, much better interview, but most importantly from the apologetics point of view, it allows us to communicate the real story about the church and clear away the fog and misunderstanding and misapprehensions.
Now, on my blog, I recently did a giveaway of your book, and in order to participate in the giveaway, readers had to answer the question, what is the most difficult hot-button issue for you to discuss, either with your friends, family, or coworkers? And surprisingly, the majority of people responded saying the issue of homosexuality and same-sex marriage was the most difficult, most touchy issue for them to discuss. So, using your principle of positive intention and your work through Catholic Voices, what are some simple ideas or points that Catholics can communicate in order to get across the Church's teaching on this issue?
Well, the issue that we've wrestled with most here too has been that, not so much homosexuality, but the question of same-sex marriage particularly. In other words, where the issue is about allowing a particular group to do a particular thing, whether it's same-sex adoption or same-sex marriage. Now, the difficulty here is that we live in a society in which the ethic of autonomy is very important. In other words, what is most important is for people to have the freedom to pursue their own ends. And on same-sex marriage, what is the criticism of the church? The criticism of the church is that actually it's opposed to homosexuality, and that it is obviously opposed to same-sex marriage because of that. So what the Catholic Church is doing is imposing on the secular public realm its own religious views. Positive intention, the Church should be imposing its views through the law and through the state. And in America, of course, religious freedom is very, very important. Do we agree with that? Yes, absolutely. We do not even imposing Catholic morals through the law. We don't believe the opposite. We respect the secular and civil realm. In the case of same-sex marriage, the Church's opposition to same-sex marriage has really got nothing to do with its opposition to homosexuality, or rather its view of homosexuality. The Church's opposition to same-sex marriage is that marriage is a very particular, unique institution which is held apart from other institutions, other relationships and other forms of love, precisely because it's conjugal nature because of the, it's a procreative institution in which children can be brought up by the biological parent. And that produced such good outcomes for the children and for society that the state protects it, nurtures it, and promotes it. And we believe that to change marriage in any of its essential definitions would be not only to undermine the nature of the institution of marriage, but would also completely undermine the point of the state promoting it in the first place. This is not about, it's not actually, therefore, about relationships at all. We respect and acknowledge love wherever it's to be found. Yeah. Love between brothers and sisters, love between same-sex couples. There are all kinds of relationships and all kinds of love in society. But we only single out marriage for promotion by the state because of this biological with children. So what I'm doing here is I'm moving the debate right away from the question of homosexuality and imposition and talking about the nature of marriage and the meaning of it.
Excellent. Now, thank you again so much for sitting down here a few minutes to chat with me. Austin's book, again, is How to Defend the Faith Without Raising Your Voice, Civil Responses to Catholic Hot Button Issues, and it was recently published by Our Sunday Visitor. Austin, where can people find out more from you and about Catholic Voices on the internet?
Well, Brandon, thanks. I mean, before I reply to that, thank you for being such a fabulous Catholic voice yourself, and you've got a great site, and I think what you do is absolutely terrific. Where can you find out more? Well, Catholic Voices is now in the USA, and the website is catholicvoicesusa.org. Our own website is catholicvoices.org.uk. The book is available through osv.com. By the way, I ought to point out that this is an entirely American book. You won't realize that a Brit has written it because all the quotes are from American bishops and so on. It was thoroughly Americanized with the help of John, the editor of Our Sunday Visitor. So it's as American as apple pie.
That it is. Thank you so much again, Austin.
Thanks so much, Brandon.
And thank you for watching this interview.